Give God some praise in this place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You know, this night we're talking about is what the gospel is all about.
Yeah.
All right, we're preaching true gospel here this evening.
Yeah.
God has sent these powerful ministers anointed with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Give God some more praise.
Hallelujah.
For he is worthy.
Yeah.
He's worthy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Giving honor to God. The Lord and Savior of my life, Jesus Christ. To this pastor, the pastor of this great church, the Reverend Dr. Eugene Brocky. It's always good to be in your second home. Amen. 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 I've been given the privilege of speaking to you from the seventh last word of Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. In the word of God, now we'll be reading from the Amplified version of the Bible. It's beginning with verse number 45 of 23rd chapter of Luke. While the sun's light faded or was darkened, and the curtain of the Holy of Holies, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And with these words, he expired. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these moments. We thank you for these preachers. We thank you, most of all, for your word, Father God. We thank you for the sacrifice. Now, Lord, as we stand in these moments, which are your moments, Father God, we pray that your word shall go forth with power and authority. We pray that as I stand here, these your people shall hear less of me and hear more of you, that as they look upon this podium, upon this pulpit, that they shall see less of me and see more of you. Lord, this is our desire. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God said amen. 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 Beloved, with the time that I've been allotted, I'd like to speak with you briefly from the topic, the defining moments.
Come on.
The defining moments. And beloved, if we are truthful with ourselves, as we journey along in this life, we have many defining moments. Dictionary says that defining moment is a point at which the essential nature or character of a person is revealed or identified. Beloved, we've talked about the seven last words of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was not guilty of a thing other than being sent from God and being appointed to be our Savior, but they couldn't see why Jesus was here. In fact, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and in the beginning was that Word. And when the Word came to earth in flesh, the people that didn't even recognize him. You know, if we're truthful with ourselves, there is a before and after list of defining moments. You see, before we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the things that we do, the things that we engage ourselves on have different outcomes and consequences, whether they're good or bad. There's something that happens when we put forth our actions. And very often before we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, those things that we do are often not pleasing to God. But before we have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, we stumble and we find ourselves waddling in the muck, in the mire. You know the commercial, I've fallen, but I can't get up. But after we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the one that was flogged for not committing a sin at all. You know, the one that was chastised and beaten and punched. The one that suffered an agonizing death on the cross on that hill called Golgotha, that skull hill. You know the Jesus, the one that we've been talking about all evening. It is when we accept what Jesus did on the cross for us that the defining moments that we have now are much different from the defining moments we had before Christ. Verse number 46, and Jesus says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, Father, 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 I have a connection. I have a connection. I have a relationship. There's a relationship there. You know, you just can't call anybody Father. You just can't go up into any man and say, hey, Daddy, hey, Father. But Jesus shows us that there is a relationship there. Not only is there a relationship, there's an intimate relationship. He says, Father, into your hands I commit, I pledge, I devote, I entrust my spirit. Let's back up a little. What is this spirit thing? We hear this spirit thing all the time. We know we have to be careful of the spirits we allow in our presence. What is this spirit thing? You know, that spirit. We all have a spirit. You know, when the Bible tells us in Genesis, when God scooped us up and formed us into man, you know, in order for us to become living souls, he breathed his spirit into us. We became living souls. You see, when that spirit was breathed into us, God put himself in us. You know, that's the image of which God created us. It is his spirit that is in us. And then you know the rest of the story. We kind of went wayward and we couldn't find our way back. And all kinds of stuff happened because we wanted to do our thing. Well, what is this spirit thing? Have you ever felt happy or sad? Have you ever expressed an emotion? You see, that the spirit is that thing that keeps us connected with God. You see, that spirit is that thing that is at the foundation of how we demonstrate or who we are and identify how we feel. You ever encountered anybody say, oh, there's something wrong with that person's spirit? You begin to question why that person's sad all the time, why that person has something foul to say all the time, never has anything good to say. You step back and say, oh, there's something wrong with that person's spirit. You see, that's the before a Jesus Christ encounter spirit. The Spirit of God empowers us. It gives us what we need to go forth and do the task that Jesus or that God gives us to do. So Jesus said, into your spirit, Father, I commit, into your hands, I commit my spirit. You see, Jesus was going back to whence he came. You see, when Jesus was born, it wasn't born of regular means. It was the Spirit of God hovering over Mary, and she became pregnant, and Jesus was born. You see, he was born of the Spirit. He was fully human. But fully spirit, he's fully divine. Yeah. But at this moment, when he's on the cross and he's expressed He's expressed his agony, but even in the midst of his agony, he's taken care of business. He's made sure his household was still whole. He made sure that the people that were instrumental in his crucifixion were forgiven in spite of. Anybody ever had an in spite of forgiveness? We see God calls us to forgive one another. And if we got to be careful, if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. You see, Jesus trusted the Father. Has anybody ever trusted God? You see, Jesus actually in these moments is telling us, he's giving us a reverse view of how things should be. You see, we trust in God and then allow God to move in our lives, to move us to and fro on this path that he's given us. Jesus is showing us that we need to have a relationship, intimate relationship with the Father, and trust in him first. Give our spirits to him. Let him have control over our emotions. Let him have control over every movement of our very being. You see, when Jesus was about to give his spirit to the Father, he was showing us that these bodies that we have are temporal. He was showing this even in the midst of this pain and agony that it won't last always. Even when we encounter problems along our way, after we've had a relationship, we've established a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, after Christ, Jesus is telling us that we need to stay connected. He's telling us that we need to make sure that our spiritual connection is strong. Into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Jesus is showing us that we have to be devoted to God. In order to be live out the fullness of what God has in store for us, we need to commit. We need to trust in God. We need to be foolish enough to believe that what God says in his word is true. God wants us to entrust in him. Put our very beings in his hands. And then the rest, he will set in order as he orders our feet in his word, in his will, and in his way. Into your hands, Father, I commit, I devote, I entrust, I surrender my spirit. It's the word of God for the people of God. Amen.